Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
All right, this is the Infamous Podcast review you have been waiting for 40 weeks for. This is the review of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. There's been a lot said about this in the media. It is currently rocking at a stellar 30% on Rotten Tomatoes from the Tomato Meter with an audience score of 73, which has actually been going down since Thursday night. Anyway, we have with us, as always,
Johnny.
And then we have a special guest on...
You just got to introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'm Brian. So they know who I am. I've been doing this long enough. Anyway, and then we have a special guest via Skype, live from L.A., the City of Lights.
City of smog. Yes.
I made a joke before we called you that it said it's the city of casting couches.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on out here. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. David Griffin here. Excited to talk about Batman v Superman, the most anticipated film of all time.
Wrong.
How about the most anticipated film of this week?
yeah. That's fair.
All right. So, if you don't know what this movie is, you obviously have been living somewhere under a rock, maybe in a...
Or actually having a life.
Yeah. You have a girlfriend. You have a healthy social life. No. Anyway, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice is obviously DC's first attempt at a combined universe. We saw it on Tuesday night. David saw it on Friday morning, right, David?
Yes.
Okay. So we are going to have a very spoilerific review here and share our thoughts, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And so I've been trying to get out of Johnny since Tuesday what he thought of the movie. And like I just tried before we started recording to get David's thoughts on the movie.
I kept quiet. I didn't want to say anything.
You have. And we talked. Did we talk yesterday for like a minute?
I think it was Thursday.
Okay, because I wanted to make sure when you were seeing it. Okay, so... David, you're the guest, so you have the honors to go ahead and let us know. What did you think of...
This is an honor. I appreciate that. I get to share with the Infamous Podcast community my thoughts before yours. This is great.
You do. What did you think of it?
Bat
versus Superman. I actually thought it was very entertaining. It's far from perfect. The film has a lot of flaws, but I was sitting there. I was like, this is entertaining. Like, Snyder, to give the guy credit, he went for it. Like, you know, they say swinging for the fences. I don't know if he actually got to the fence. He didn't hit a home run, but he went there. He tried to explore a lot of ideas. There's theological themes there and more, you know, themes like morality, all these different issues, you know, religion and politics. He was really going for it. He wasn't trying to make your average superhero film. Now, the problem with the movie is that it goes off in too many tangents, but it shines in a few areas. And I think all three of us hopefully will agree that I think Ben Affleck did a fantastic job, you know, with the material he was given. I think Gal Gadot had a great presence on screen. And I'm even going to defend Lex Luthor. I'm going to defend my boy Jesse Eisenberg. I know there's a lot of hate for Jesse Eisenberg in this role, but I'm actually going to defend him. I think he, again, went for it. Again, I think there's a lot of swinging for the fences, but I didn't think they hit a home run. But I can't wait to watch, which maybe we'll talk about later, some of the deleted scenes and the hour-long version. Three-hour-long version of this rated R director's cut when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Sure. Okay, Johnny.
I don't know. I really don't.
David just put a lot out there.
He did.
Sorry.
Well, and I've talked about this because my girlfriend went with us when we seen it, and I've talked to her more than I've talked to anybody else. People at work have asked me about what I thought in that, and I don't know. It's a lot of like different stories in one movie. I kind of felt like they started shooting Man of Steel 2 and then got the word that they could use Batman and changed it to Batman versus Superman, because the first half of the movie feels like it might have been Man of Steel 2 with Holly Hunter and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden Batman shows up in there, and it just felt like, you know, it was two movies bumped together.
Sure.
That's kind of the way it looked to me, really.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing with him, you know, rescuing Lois at the beginning and then having to go before the Senate hearings, mm-hmm. and that all seemed like it could have just been the Man of Steel 2 with Lex Luthor being the villain and, you know, well, Lex Luthor Jr. Right. being the villain.
Yeah, let's be clear
there. Yeah, this isn't Lex Luthor. It's Lex Luthor's kid, so, you know, his spoiled, rotten, whiny, crazy kid, you know. Jesse Eisenberg worked good with what he had, I guess you could say. Yeah. They all worked good with what they had. It really is. It's a really good cast that didn't have really good writers, is what I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't like it at all.
No.
Here it comes.
Honestly.
Let's get ready for it.
No, here's the thing. It's the best thing is people have obviously been asking me all week. And the best thing I can say is I didn't hate it.
No.
And you know, Affleck, like, I didn't have the reservations people had Affleck.
No, I didn't.
You know, when they cast him, he looks like what Bruce Wayne should look like. He's an underrated actor. He's a great director, so he understands, like, filmmaking.
Yeah.
My big problems were with, like, kind of the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I never felt like this was ever a Superman movie. This, to me, was very much
The Man of Steel is not a Superman
movie. Well, no, but this was very much a Batman movie first. Right. And then they shoehorned in Aquaman and The Flash and Cyborg.
Well, right, yeah.
And Gal Gadot was used exactly the amount she should have been, because I can't tell you how excited I am for Wonder Woman the First Avenger to come out next year.
Nice.
I think that will be... That's what they should have been like going for, is just that movie next.
Yeah.
And not, like David said, swinging for the fences and going all out for a Justice League, because I felt the whiff of that miss. And, you know, it's rough, man. They threw a lot in there. I felt like the movie was kind of boring, to be honest with you. It dragged a lot.
The first half of the movie is very boring.
I tell you, though, the things I like the best is the Batman fight scenes felt like I was playing Arkham.
Yeah.
One of the many Arkham games. David, I know you've played them. I don't know how you feel about that. Gal Gadot was awesome. I wish they would have not shown us anything of Wonder Woman until she like plopped down in the middle of that fight with the bracelets.
Do you mean like the picture?
Well, I think seeing a picture of her would have been fine, but the fact that she was so heavily featured in the preview.
Oh, okay.
You know,
there was too much shown before the movie.
Yeah, like I honestly think like that affected my thought process on this, because I would have lost my mind seeing that. I disagree with both of you. I think Jesse Eisenberg actively tried to ruin this movie. He would make an amazing Riddler. I could even see him as a Joker.
He could have been a Joker for sure.
But for what he needed to be in this role, he was way too uneven. He was way too manic. And then, like, you know, I heard someone else say he was making like the Yoda sounds. And after they said that, it's like, oh yeah, because everyone's son of Krypton. Well,
my whole thing was you know, knowing that he was the son of Lex Luthor, that he wasn't Lex Luthor.
And we didn't know that until David told us that.
Well, right.
A couple weeks ago.
And you would have known it in the movie because he mentions
away.
The thing is Lex Luthor, obviously in this world, just like any other world, is a bad guy. And, you know, he even mentions that he beat him. That. But you know his kid's going to be worse. His kid's going to be just... Yeah. Unhinged.
And so when he said that, I don't know about you, but I got this Austin Powers like thing where he's my father put me in a burlap sack. And you know, it's like, okay.
It's the whole thing like, you know, Bruce being the one who didn't have parents.
Right.
Clark being the one where, you know, his parents tried to show him a way to live. And then Lex having an abusive relationship with his parent. It was like three sides of, you know, the triangle was like completed there, because, you know, I think that Superman in this movie is kind of guided by Batman.
Yeah.
In a way.
Especially at the end.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm sure you guys had to have geeked out. I assume you geeked out. And I was seeing it with Michael Medina, who's, you know, one of the hosts over at Collider and on Think Hero. And he hated Man of Steel. And he was not looking forward to seeing this. But even he geeked out when we saw the Flash come in, that kind of infinite crisis, Crisis on Infinite Earths way, you know, to warn Batman about the future. Like, you guys, I'm assuming you had to geek out during that moment.
I more geeked out during the nightmare. Like,
the nightmare,
with the Omega symbol the and nightmare the parademons. The parademons, I was falling off the chair because I'm like, those were probably the coolest looking thing in the whole movie.
The parademons
were the parademons.
Well, that was a shock about how much like foreshadowing they're doing for Darkseid. I mean, like you have you know, the Flash coming through, you know, the portal there or whatever, yeah. And talking to him. And also at the end when Jesse Eisenberg is like, you know, he's coming and like the demon's coming, you know, like they're getting ready for Darkseid.
Even the Mother Box, when they showed the cyborg video and the Mother Box was there. Right.
So when the Flash showed up, what immediately bothered me was the battle armor. And then the fact that when that thing popped up, his head looked too small. Like the CG looked too small. And then he had the stupid freaking mustache and beard thing going on.
Well, he's hip, you know? He's
Barry Allen is not hip. You know? And like
they said he's Barry Allen.
Well, and that's why I'm thinking he might not be.
Yeah, I don't think he's Barry Allen. Because
even in the convenience store, he had a ponytail. Right, yeah. And like, you know, it's like
I could believe he would be more Wally West.
And you know what? If he is, I'm much more on board.
Right, yeah. So. I think he would be more of a Wally West Flash than a Barry Allen Flash. And who knows what Zach's doing? I mean,
what would you guys think of the, I mean, I know you guys think it's maybe shoehorned in, but what did you think about Jason Momoa's scene as Aquaman?
I felt like he looked like he was drowning.
I liked it. I liked it. But
there's ways they could have shot that with him not actually being in water to make that look more, it looked like he was drowning.
But for
his cheeks were buffed out.
Before the normal viewer going in, they would have had no idea who he was if they didn't show him underwater.
Sure, I get it. But I'm seeing they could have filmed that where it still looked like he was underwater.
My major complaint about that whole thing with the computer and all the files, why were there not more files?
Yeah, there were four.
There was four files, and I'm like, Suicide Squad's supposed to take place in this universe, so why wasn't the Suicide Squad files there? Yeah. And, you know, why weren't there
Green Lantern symbols?
Well, yeah, they haven't. I think the thing is with that is they haven't announced. I mean, I think it was just yesterday that Tyrese came out and confirmed that he has had meetings with Warner Brothers, but we don't know who Green Lantern is going to be. I think the movie's it's going to be called Green Lantern Corps, so we don't know.
Right. Well, my whole Green thing.
But no, I mean, but like kind of to Johnny's point, like there should have been more than just the three folders.
Oh, yeah.
The folders could have been there, but not clicked on.
Right.
Like just hints of everything. Like
kind of
could
like
have been
every
just
time in the
X-Men
movie.
Yeah,
every X-Men movie, when there's a computer screen, you see
there's a list.
You
of
see
everybody.
Remy LeBeau's name on every single one of the screens, and then you see like Mort Forge, and you know. So
it's just one of those things where I'm like, you know, just throw in something that the fans would go, oh wow, okay, that person exists in this universe. An arrow folder would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to go back, Brian, what you're saying about Batman. I love when we're first introduced to him fighting. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in that, I guess he's saving the prostitutes, you know, and you see him in the corner kind of, you know, hovering there. And
like
the way
he
moves. Yeah, I mean,
he literally moves like a bat. I'm like, that's
exactly.
Pretty cool.
This is probably the closest version of Batman that we've gotten to the comics. I mean, more so than Christopher Nolan.
It was
the animalistic
suit.
Style.
Yeah, I mean, it was the best suit so far. It looked awesome. I liked the way they had the voice. It wasn't just him like, I'm Batman. It was like modulated. And I had said to Johnny, they should have used Kevin Conroy's voice for that.
That would have been cool.
That would have been pretty awesome. But no, I...
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome. Jeremy Irons.
Like, if you want to talk about anyone that was underused in this movie, it was Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Like, he should have been in Affleck's ear more than he was.
Right.
But, like, you know, you guys talked about the acting and then the great cast. And I'll agree to some point. Like, they did an awesome job making up for David Goyer.
Yeah.
David Goyer, and I told you earlier, should not be allowed to write anything ever again. Not even his name on a napkin. Like, he should be banned from writing. He's that bad.
Just gotten worse over the years.
He it's like Frank Miller. Frank Miller, since RoboCop 2, has just been all down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, David, what do you think?
About the writing?
David S. Griffin, what do you think?
Goyer's serviceable. You know, he had that, I was watching his show on Starz for a little while. There was the Da Vinci's Demons or whatever. You know, he was a showrunner on that. He wrote some episodes there. He's one of those guys who's, I don't know. He's very serviceable. He's not going to wow you, but I don't think he's the worst screenwriter out there. But he did have a writing partner on this. It wasn't all him.
When you say he's serviceable, and they have this movie that they're literally swinging for the fences for, should they have a serviceable writer, or they I think that's the issue.
No, you're right. I think the problem is that Goyer had so much success. You know, I mean, he had a show on Stars. He had, of course, you know, Dark Knight and Dark Knight, you know, movies, because he had those writing credits along with Jonathan Nolan. I think the writers of those films, Jonathan Nolan and Christopher Nolan, are the stars. And Goyer, yeah. I don't want to say he tagged along, but I think he got a lot more credit than maybe he deserved.
He's really a coattail rider.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Frank, Zack Snyder, especially as a director, if he had a better writer, I think the movie could have been better, because he's I love his style. Like, I love the scene in the beginning. You know, I'm getting tired of seeing Bruce Wayne's parents die over and over again, but I thought it was cool. I love the part when you see, was it Maggie there from Walking Dead?
When you see Negan and Maggie.
Yeah, you have Negan and Maggie there from The Walking Dead. And I love the scene when he has the gun with the pearls, and like, it's when he cocks the gun, well, you know, like the pearls snap. It's so visually striking.
That's out of the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, comic. It looks great.
I mean, what you're saying is kind of what Johnny and I have said about Snyder. If you give him a shot-for-shot like remake of a
like comic 300 panel, was great. I love 300
again, but it's I mean literally it was panel for panel. Like they just used the comic as a storyboard in like part of that opening scene. Now one minor issue I have with the Bruce Wayne parent death scene is it keeps getting increasingly more public. Right, they're not in an alley anymore. Yeah. They're right outside the theater. Like pretty soon someone's gonna come into the theater and just shoot them.
You know? I think my favorite one is still the Tim Burton one in number one. I love that.
Other than the fact that they made the Joker the one who killed his parents, yeah. But yeah,
that's true.
As far as like how it was filmed and things like that,
for that like story that worked.
Now, okay, I have a question for the two of you, because there were a lot of dream sequences in this movie.
Was in the whole movie a dream?
When baby Bruce falls down the well, and the bats lifts him up. Was that a dream?
That was a dream.
Or
yeah,
did that really happen?
It. Yeah, he narrates it later saying, I saw myself doing this or something. Like he acknowledges
that. Oh, everybody lost their shit in the theater when he started flying like, with the bats.
There were, people just were like, ugh. Like groans. It was hilarious. Like, I thought that, like, to me, that got the movie started off on a like, okay, like, that's not the right note here. Because, like what you said, David, it was visually striking, the death scene of his parents, which I didn't need to see another death scene of his parents.
Reason you've seen that death scene, because it ties into later in the movie, I mean, with the whole thing with Martha.
Well, who doesn't know her name is Martha Wayne at this point?
Well, I know, but, you know, the whole thing where Superman's being pretty much killed by Batman, and he starts saying Martha.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot about that connection.
Really, how much does Superman care about his mom? Because he saves Lois half a world away. His mom's just in, you know, the grocery store or whatever, and she gets kidnapped by the loser ninjas.
It's the whole manipulation thing.
It was just...
It's drama, Brian.
But it wasn't, because you're wondering the whole time. It's like, wait, why doesn't he care about his mom, who's his only family, as much as he cares about his, you know, the girl he's shacking up with?
Yeah.
What was Lois doing? Like, Lois gets the spear, she goes in some cavern, throws it in the water, and then goes back to that same water and then starts drowning. I'm like, what is she doing? Like,
why did she even throw it down there?
Because David, it's drama.
Well, and my major complaint was that, I can't remember now what it was.
You had a lot of them.
Well, I did have a few, yeah. I mean, you know, the whole thing, like I said, the one thing that threw me out of the movie right off the start was the guy working for Lex also worked for Hydra.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to cast...
He's a good actor, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're going to cast those movies, though. Don't cast somebody who's been in a comic book movie for the other company.
Right, because he was working with Crossbones, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the one who was going to execute Cap in the middle of the street.
That's right.
Yeah, he's the one in the Quinjet that goes, did he just jump without a parachute?
Yeah.
So then the other thing about that staff is it looked way too much like Vitruvius's staff from the Lego movie. And that's all I could see. And I just kept hearing Morgan Freeman's voice anytime anybody talked about the staff. So, and it's like, you are the master builder. So, yeah. You know, like I said, Batman was great. Wonder Woman was great. I think this is the closest we've had to a really good Superman.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, I mean, obviously he needs some like Zoloft or something for his depression. Whatever can help him, like maybe even be a little more decisive would be great. But I felt like it was a whole bunch of fuck yeah moments surrounded by just like exposition and Jesse Eisenberg dancing around like a fool.
Yeah, like I said, it's just a lot of little story bits put in the one movie.
But you know what? I'm sure you've heard of this too. I'm really excited, and maybe you guys have seen enough of Batman v Superman. Maybe Brian doesn't want to watch this, but when the 3-hour version comes out, the rated R version, not because it's rated R, but they took out all of the Jenna Malone stuff. I know Brian, you like Jenna Malone.
I'm a huge Jenna Malone fan. Well, and we know from Saved,
Sucker Punch, even though that movie wasn't very good, but Jenna Malone, it wasn't her fault.
I don't think I made it to the point where she was in Sucker Punch before I turned it off. So,
well, what's cool is we know from these scenes, you know, I was talking to, Jason Inman over at DC All Access. We were at Wonder. See, the thing is, after we saw Batman, we went to WonderCon.
Right.
And so we're hanging out at WonderCon. I was talking to Jason Inman, and he says a lot of those cuts, deleted scenes we're going to see have Barbara Gordon in a wheelchair. And I guess there's a point where she actually talks about Dick being around, and I guess there's a point when like Ben talks about like, hey, I need I could use some help, and she's like, well, you know, you could ask Dick, and then he says like, well, you know, Dick's never going to help me again or something like that. So we are going to get, I can't wait to see those scenes. I feel bad they were cut out of the movie. I don't know, maybe 3 hours would have been too much.
You know, I would have rather had that than any of the Doomsday stuff.
I would have rather had that than any of the Senate hearings.
Well, that too. Yeah. I mean, Holly Hunter had way too big a role in this movie,
and it was wasted. Oh, yeah. A decent actress wasted, you know, the whole piss in the jar thing. And,
I think it was a wasted moment, too, that court scene for Henry Cavill. I think the writers could have really given him something interesting to say. I mean, we had a point where he could have commented on everything that he did, all the people that died because of the fight with Zod, and he was silent. He just stared and looked, and then the bomb went off. There was no. I think there was really a great moment there where Henry Cavill could have said something interesting, but they didn't give it to him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, like all in all, I think this will go down as like it's going to be a very divisive movie. Like you're either going to love it or hate it. Like I don't hate it. Like you know, I'm very much in the middle. There are parts that I really really did like in spite of, you know, the writing and my affinity for not liking Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the things I didn't like really kind of outweighed that and overshadowed that.
They stand out more. Like, they do. The things that are, like, the negatives for you stand out more.
And it's not because I'm not negative. I mean, I'm of, you know, I think of most people, especially comic book fans, I try and find the good in everything.
Right.
You know, the only two comic book movies I truly like hate are Wolverine Origins, because that was just a steaming pile of just horrible, and then Green Lantern, because they took one of my three favorite characters and reduced him to whatever that was.
Right.
But
yeah, it's tough. Like I don't know. I mean, are you guys? Would you guys watch the unrated version when it comes out?
Or I'll see it. Yeah,
I'll definitely watch it because like I want to be able to speak like you know knowledgeably about it,
right?
And like give an accurate opinion when people ask.
It's more, will you own it? I guess will you buy it?
Right.
I'll probably just borrow it from Johnny.
Well, are they when they release it? Is it going to be released as the theatrical version and the unrated version?
Yeah. So what I went on, I was on. I think all of them, Amazon, iTunes, are all, you can pre-order it now. I'm not going to do, but if you pre-order it, you can get, I guess there's a version for $20, high definition, where you get the regular version and the theatrical version tagged on. So I think if you do buy it digitally, at least, it's going to be in the same package. Okay. Yeah, same package.
Yeah, so, but I think if they're going to sell it, they should just sell it all together. You know, put both versions on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, they made that mistake with Daredevil back in the day when it came out.
Oh, with the director's...
Releasing the director's cut months after they released the regular version, and it's like they should have just done it all in one package.
Yeah, because I didn't buy the original version.
I would pay $30 to have both versions, you know, and, you know, I buy all these superhero movies. I bought Fantastic Four and that. You know, it's just one of those things where I'm a fan, so, you know, they're going to be in my DVD and Blu-ray collection.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I even have Jonah Hex, even though I've never watched it. I think somebody bought it for me.
Okay.
Just because they know I like comic book movies and comic books in general. So, but yeah, I don't think I've ever watched that one.
David, are you going to buy it?
Yeah, I'll probably buy it, especially because I want to see the director's cut. I'm also curious.
I want to see the special features.
Yeah, the special features,
probably
too.
Some, like, you know, cool special features on it, at least.
I,
I mean, what I love too is like watching Ben in that workout montage. He got huge for that role. I remember seeing him in Gone Girl. I think I was talking to Brian after I saw Gone Girl, and he was. I'm like, man, the guy's like, he looked like he had put on like 30 pounds, but now I realize why. I see why he was doing that. He was bulking up for Batman. I get it.
You know, and it was a great commercial for CrossFit. You know, and that kind of stuff.
You're the best around.
You know, that was the other thing, is the music in this really took me out of it in scenes.
Hans Zimmer, man.
But it didn't enhance it. Like, it like kind of messed up some of the scenes because wasn't the right tone.
Was it the junky XL music or was it the Hans Zimmer music? Because it was co-production.
I'm not 100% sure who was doing the music when, but
well, like, you could tell the Mad Max music and you could tell the Hans Zimmer music.
I mean, there were just scenes. Did the Mad Max, probably
you can hear it.
Yeah, then that's probably what it
was. When Wonder Woman shows up, that's all Junkie XL.
Yeah, that took me out of it for sure. The other thing that visually took me out. Yeah, the things that visually took me out is with Wonder Woman, where she'd go fast and then it'd do the slow mo and then speed back up again. First off, I really dislike that effect. I think it's lazy. Yeah. And then I thought it just kind of, it was like accentuating the wrong things for her because she's so strong. Now, when she pulled out the golden lasso and had that around the cave troll.
Oh, yeah.
I was all for that. That was awesome. It was the cave troll. It was the exact same animation.
The Doomsday cave troll.
But you made a great point about where the spikes should have jutted out.
Of course, when he was continuously mutating, the bones were popping out, but they didn't do any on his jawline. And they didn't really do his hands, like where the bones would be out, like a like a weapon. Yeah,
other than when the sword came out.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, David, you're familiar, obviously, with Doomsday from the comic, and, and like, you know, the various animated versions we've had of him, and basically, like, for people who don't know, and people who have seen it wondering why he kept changing, is Doomsday was created on Krypton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sent, and not necessarily sent to Earth, just kind of ended up on
Earth. The way the story, the origin of Doomsday was, it was like, you know, further back in Krypton's past, where scientists were experimenting with Kryptonian children and mutating them, and they mutated Doomsday, and he became too unhinged for them, and they put him on this, you know, planet where it was just lizards pretty much running around the planet, I think is the way the alien said it. It was Earth, but it was in the prehistoric past. Right. They had put him in that little, in his tube, and buried him. So that would explain how, when Doomsday started pounding his way out, when he showed up, where he had come from.
Right.
And he was like, you know, a billion years old pretty much at that point.
And as a character, he is, or as a creature, he is designed to survive.
Yeah.
And he is designed to.
He's an ever evolving weapon, is pretty much the way they've made it.
So, like Darwin from First Class, right?
Yeah.
He's, as he gets hurt or, you know, close to being killed, he is able then to adapt, and so that way it doesn't work again.
That's why he was able to fight Darkseid. And, you know, in the comics, he fought Darkseid at one point. Mm-hmm. To a standstill.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so...
I mean, the only other person that's done that is Batman. So.
Right. Yeah, I think that's another weakness of the movie, too, is the villain. And not, I don't want to get into the whole CGI thing and whether he looked good or bad. Like, that's... I'm not a CGI guy, so I don't know how that works. But I know I spent a lot of money in this movie. So the thing is, for me, though, is when you do, like, a monster villain, it's really hard to care. You know, I mean, that's why... I mean, whether you like Man of Steel or not, I mean, Michael Shannon is a fantastic actor. And Michael Shannon played Zod, you know, with what he was given, the best he could. And he was very charismatic. And, you know, the whole at the end when he's like, look, I was bred for being a soldier. This is what I do. This is what I'm bred for. Like, I bought that. I'm like, okay, I get Michael Shannon's motivation. But you just throw some random monster just yelling. And I mean, it's okay to have those. I mean, they're in the comic book world. They're in, you know, fantasy, Harry Potter. But you have to have a Voldemort. You have to have a Darth Vader. Maybe that, I'm sure that's going to be Darkseid later on. But you need that character that you can, you know, kind of be scared of, but also like kind of understand and see where they came from, you know. But when you have just some like random monster just screaming and yelling all the time, like you don't really feel anything, you know. And I think that was a problem to end the movie with that big fight. I just, you know, when Superman goes down, which I'm kind of glad that they left him in the grave. I thought that was kind of cool, Dan, even though of course he's going to come back. But I just didn't feel anything for Doomsday. I think that was a problem there too.
Well, yeah, and the Doomsday, the thing with this Doomsday was that it was Zod. You know, mutated Zod. Right. And I would have liked that, at least that if he would have acknowledged Superman in a way that would have went, I know you.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to kill you because you killed me type thing. would have been more interesting to me. And yeah, it was. It was just, you know, the Trinity fighting Hulk.
Yeah. I wonder if Michael Shannon got paid for that. Like, I wonder how much he gets for having
Yeah, he got paid. I mean, okay, he talked about that.
He talked about it before he was really supposed to talk about it and said that they had scanned him and were going to turn him into a monster. So, like, everybody's like, oh, Doomsday's going to be in this movie. Yeah.
See, and I feel like, you know, I mean, Superman, like, I mean, we've gotten a few of the different Batman villains here over the last few movies. But Superman, we've only ever got Zod or Lex.
Yeah.
And for me, especially bringing in Wonder Woman, this was the perfect time to introduce Parasite.
Yeah.
Because Parasite could have been that monster, and then, to David's point, a character we could have cared about because of how he becomes Parasite, and then... You know, it can show Lex being diabolical and turning a human into a weapon.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was even like, the idea that, you know, you could have had several villains show up at that point. If you're going to have three superheroes, you could have a couple villains like Parasite and Metallo.
Yeah.
And that, where they would have been fighting people that, you know, would have been worth fighting. Whereas Doomsday, it was just, you know, a straight out, let's go ahead and destroy another city block and just have a straight out brawl. Let's do, you know, because it was one of those things where he was trying to do Legends of the Dark Knight type stuff where it's like blow Superman up with a nuclear bomb and show him all wrinkled and floating in space.
And you know, I got the Dark Knight symbolism there, but all I could think is when that missile was going up, it's like, oh my God, this is just like Superman 4. That's where I went first.
The nuclear man.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that tainted, emotion in me tainted.
Because
the movie
we had seen all the file folders with everybody, and he's floating in space, I was thinking like, oh, this would be a perfect time for Green Lantern just to show up and push him out toward the sun.
Yeah.
And that would have been the Green Lantern thing, and then just had him fly back into space.
Yeah.
And just went, oh shit, there's Green Lantern, you know?
Or it should have been a Green Lantern, or like Abin Sur or something like that. Because he's like, you know, because
well, see,
the Green Lantern.
That's even a good idea, you know, hindsight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously,
what it is.
I mean,
if they would have thought to bring Abin Sur in to that fight and then have him killed in that fight and the ring fly away, would have been a cool story point.
Yeah. So I just like, I feel like they tried to do too much and without enough planning.
Right.
And then they tried to do these like emotional scenes like Clark and Lois in the bathtub. And, you know, like, that didn't work for me. I didn't buy it.
No.
You know? David, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's hard. I mean, I think they had too many movies going on here in one. And, like, they're playing catch-up with Marvel, which I feel like it's going to get better from here, though. I don't think this is a bad sign of things to come. I think it's going to get better. I think once they get the group together, even though it is a little rushed, I feel like it's going to get better. I'm really, like you said, Brian, I'm really excited for the Wonder Woman story. We know we're going to get a new Green Lantern Corps. We know we're going to get a Flash story. We know we're getting a Cyborg movie. I feel like once they slow down and do these individual films, I think it's going to get a lot better. Like Suicide Squad, David Ayer is a fantastic director. End of Watch, Fury, you know, with Brad Pitt. That was an awesome movie. I mean, we know that they're going to have some good directors and some talented writers lined up. I think it's going to get better. I think this was rushed, but I think it's going to get better from here on out.
I kind of don't want Zack Snyder to direct the Justice League.
I don't want Zack Snyder to
direct. Yeah.
I want Ben Affleck to direct Justice League.
You know, and I just another thing kind of, you know, talking Marvel versus DC is Marvel just last week put out essentially a 13-hour movie.
Right.
Like, while it has some, like, you know, Daredevil Season 2, and Johnny hasn't seen it all, David, so let's not
spoil. I won't spoil it,
But, like, it has some definite weak points.
Yeah.
Like, big, glaring weak points. But overall, it took a beloved character who's never been done right and knocked him out of the park.
Yeah.
It introduced a character that was done really poorly cinematically and knocked her out of the park. And then it did that the same morality tale
that we have here. With Punisher, too. I mean, Punisher's never really been portrayed.
No, I'm saying Punisher and Elektra.
Yeah.
But the dichotomy of the hero, Daredevil, and the Punisher.
The anti-hero.
Yeah. Like, they really did a great job defining what it is to be a hero and what it is to be a killer.
Right.
And they did not come close enough to doing that with why Batman and Superman should be versus each other.
Right.
And the fact that they never talk.
Yeah.
Until, you know, like,
until
they have,
Martha's been kidnapped and then tries to convince him.
Again, like, if Bruce's mom's name was Jane, you know, that's not enough motivation to not stab him through
the
face.
And the worst part of it was is that Clark knew that Bruce is Batman. Right. And never went over there and said, hey, I know who you are, right. and you need to stop being who you are. Mm-hmm. Because that was his whole thing, is he didn't think the Batman should be
right.
there. And it's like, you know, the whole point of it is the Batman needs to be there, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the dark and the light.
Yeah.
Like, it's the yin and yang.
Batman is, for all, like, ideas, the nuclear deterrent for Superman.
Right.
Because he will stop him no matter how he has to do it. And he's the only one of the superheroes that would be willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he has to kill him, he'll kill him.
Right.
And I always like in Justice League, the animated series, Bruce always had a secret weapon just in case, somebody got control of, like, you know, mind wiped, you know, Superman or something and right. got control of him. He always had like a secret weapon stashed away. And Superman knew it. He knew he had that weapon, you know, just to make sure he could take him down if he needed to.
Yeah. And Superman always, like, even if he's mind wiped or under control, he always holds back. That's how much of a hero he is.
Yeah.
Like, he has the ability to hold back.
Well, and the thing, like, I remember back in, you know, the 90s, I think it was, when they did the thing where Lex Luthor had the kryptonite ring.
Yeah.
And Superman got it because Lex died, you know, quote unquote. And he got the ring, and the first person he takes it to is Batman and says, you know, if anything ever happens.
Go. Keep talking.
He's like, if anything ever happens, you know, we'll just use this ring to stop me.
Yeah.
He's like, just use this to stop me, and Batman hides it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where even Batman doesn't remember where it is.
Right. I mean, like, even in, like, Young Justice, like, in the at the end there, where they're taken over, where the Justice League is taken over with the Star-O tech, Robin has the kryptonite shard that he got from the Batcave.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just one of those things where, you know, they're best friends, but they are best enemies, too.
Yeah. I didn't feel like Bruce was smart enough in this movie.
He wasn't the detective.
And that bothered me.
Yeah, Batman was not the detective.
I mean, he's brutal and punishing.
Oh, he kills. He doesn't have a problem killing.
And,
but,
you know,
after 20 years,
yeah.
I think the Batman would be willing to kill.
And so that's another thing. And David, like, I'm interested in your thought on this, but... You know, there were a lot of people saying, well, Batman doesn't kill.
But it's he does. In his first issue in 1939, he kills.
That got like, taken care of after, like, less than 5 years.
Tim Burton's version. There's a YouTube video. Somebody did a body count, and they added up how many deaths there were in Christopher Nolan's films. And you should watch it. It's like Batman body count or something like that. And it adds up. He's been killing for years. Like, it's happened. Like, we've seen it before.
In the Dark Knight books that this is based on, he doesn't have a problem.
Yeah.
And then
he kills, like, the Joker,
right? Yeah. And then in the same book though, the thing he does is he doesn't kill the mutant leader,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because
he
shows, hey, mercy is the way to do this. And, you know, again, like, he can kill. That's great. You know,
but they don't
show the other side of
the
Bat morality of, I don't want, the main purpose of Batman is, I don't want anyone to have to go through what I went through.
Right.
And like, at the base level, that's what it is. And we didn't, I mean, like, I don't think they've ever really gotten that exactly right.
Well, the problem with it was, is, like, the only, as many dream sequences as there are in this movie, why wasn't there a dream sequence that explained, ha-ha, joke's on you, on the Robin costume?
Because I have a feeling
they're saving that for Suicide Squad.
Well, or do you think that that's part of the deleted scenes with Jenna Malone?
It might be. But I do. Yeah. I think David's right. I think that Joker that's in Suicide Squad is going to be Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be the other one. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be Dick. I think it's going to be Jason. And I think that if that whole thing with Barbara mentioning Dick and Batman going, you know, he don't want to deal with me, you know, might be because of Jason Todd becoming the Joker.
Well, and that's straight out of the comics. I mean, like,
except he's but
even before that, I mean, Dick never agreed with Jason being Robin, and you know, they never really got along
and
anyway.
For it to go this way, evolve it into that in this movie would make more sense of why Dick doesn't talk to Bruce anymore.
And after Jason died in the comics, like, Dick was like, you were warned.
Told you so.
You were warned that this was not the right person to be your partner. I don't know. I'm not excited about Suicide Squad movie, but that's more because they have Will Smith ruining my favorite DC villain.
Yeah.
Like, just from being Will Smith and not able to be Deadshot.
You think that now, but
I will,
like,
definitely see it.
I was
going to
say,
I want to see it.
Will Smith is a decent enough actor that he probably will be able to portray that role.
I hope so. I really hope so.
But it's going to be the idea of how much are they going to do flashbacks and, you know, show stuff. Because there's a lot of people in that movie.
There are.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, one of those things where I guess we'll find out.
And then, so then, you know, we've all three, I think, can agree. We look forward to the Affleck verse of the Bat.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I said I'd rather see him do the Justice League just because I know how good of a
right. But my big so is. But like a big issue now that I have with the Batman movies is, are they going to be current, like post Batman versus Superman?
I think they should be.
Or are they going to be flashbacks? Because I think that's a huge miss if they have to go back and do flashbacks.
I don't think we'll get a flashback. What I think that they should do is introduce Tim Drake.
Yeah.
And that be where we get our flashbacks is Bruce telling him things that happen and maybe show a couple of flashback scenes, but not a whole flashback movie.
But,
like, you know what's crazy?
We don't need Batman Begins again.
No.
Sorry, right. You know, so you know what's crazy is, I'm just looking at the DC, movie schedule. I just keep forgetting that next year, 2017, we're getting Wonder Woman and Justice League Part 1.
Yeah.
Next year. That's crazy.
It's, you know, like, and I think doing Justice League Part 1 before they do Aquaman or Cyborg or Flash is a huge miss.
No, you're right, because Aquaman and Flash are in 2018.
Yeah, well, you know, Johnny just said he doesn't need a Cyborg movie, and I don't know if you heard him say that, but, you know, after seeing those three clips, that was the one I was most interested in seeing.
Yeah, but I don't need a movie. He should be the glue in the Justice League movie that pulls them all together.
There are two.
Because of the mother box.
Yeah.
I mean, the mother box is the thing that should be pulling everybody together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, Loki's staff and Avengers brought everybody together in a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because The Flash is March 2018 and Aquaman is July.
Wow, yeah.
That's really close together. And then there's an unspecified, unconfirmed Batman movie in 2018 as well.
Yeah. See, I could see them push. Well, see, I don't. It's too late. I guess it's gonna have to be 2 years from now. But I'm sure they're gonna want to get that out fast because I think that was everybody's favorite part about this movie was Ben Affleck. Yeah. So.
And it's unconfirmed that that'll be an Under the Red Hood story.
Right. Okay.
So, and again, like I said, unconfirmed. And then they're doing Captain Marvel. Shazam. My bad. In 2019.
Is it Shazam or is it Captain
it's
Marvel?
It's Shazam.
The character's name is Captain Marvel, though.
Well, not anymore. It's retconned to be Shazam. And then Cyborg is 2020, along with Green Lantern Corps in 2020.
Yeah, I don't need a Cyborg movie.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I love the actor. I can't forget remember his name, but I love the actor playing Cyborg's dad. He's a great actor.
Joe Morton. Yeah.
We were both pretty excited to see him.
I was cracking up
because
I'm like, he was on Smallville the first couple of years.
Yeah, he was one of the scientists, right?
Yeah.
He was on this TV show on NBC called Viper.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that one?
No.
It was like Knight Rider. It was a Dodge Viper that it was like blue convertible.
Yeah, I remember that.
But then they'd like flip the switch and like these little hexagonal panels would flip over and it's like bulletproof and could drive faster and like, you know. Yeah. It was total Knight Rider.
Was that pre Knight Rider remake?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this was like early 90s.
Oh, okay. The era of the Highwayman.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, Street Hawk was 80s, but yeah.
So, but,
on a whole, this movie,
on
a scale of like, what, do 1 to 10?
Yeah, just 1 to 10. That's fair.
Hmm.
Well, let's let David go first.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
So, a nice, maybe a good C. I don't think it's horrible. It's not
you
a fail.
You want to do A to F?
Well, I know. Well, I'm thinking like 75%. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
I was going to go 6.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that means Brian's giving it a 2.
Enough disjointed stuff in the movie that all week I've been going back and forth with myself on this. And, you know, I only could discuss it with one other person because she obviously doesn't do any of this podcasting
stuff. Well, I've been sitting here talking to myself about it.
Well, right.
So, you know,
John, did she like it? What did she think?
She said the first half was boring. She liked the second half.
Okay.
So she liked more of the Batman story and more of the, you know, it literally was like when I said to her, I said, do you feel like they did a Superman movie and then decided that Batman was okay to be in the movie? Mm-hmm. And she goes, you know what? She goes, that's kind of like what it seemed like.
Okay.
Even though Batman does show up in the beginning of the movie and that, it just seemed like those scenes were cut in. Right. Like the thing where the Holly Hunter's character and Lex are having the discussion about the metahumans. It just seemed like that was just thrown in there, like afterthought.
Right.
And it just seemed like a lot of the stuff was thrown in there afterthought, and then there was the Man of Steel 2 going on. I don't know. It's one of those things where if I had the chops to edit this movie, I could edit it and actually throw it two movies out at once. Right. 2 hour and a half long movies from this movie.
I thought 2.5 hours was a way too long runtime for what this was and what we ended up getting out of it.
Yeah, like I said, if you would have cut the whole Senate hearing thing out and just made it where Lex was manipulating everything and pushing Batman to kill Superman and Superman to be a moron, pretty much, you could have done it in an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
And had the Doomsday fight at the end. I mean, the Doomsday fight at the end had to be there because there had to be the obligatory let's blow a lot of stuff up and have a fight.
Yeah, I think for my grade, like, I'm not as low as a 2. I'd probably go, like, 5, 5.5.
Really?
Like, you know, honestly, I think...
You liked it more than you thought you were going to like it.
I did like it more than I thought I was going to like it. I also went in probably with the lowest expectations of all of us.
And I was in there with no expectations. And you, David, you had high expectations.
I did, but the problem is a lot of the people I know went to press screenings on like Monday and Tuesday before it came out. And I just kept hearing such negative things. So I, you're right, I was. And then it dropped.
Expectations were dropping like Rotten Tomatoes was dropping.
Rotten Tomatoes, exactly.
I'm glad we saw it when we did. Yeah. If we would have had to wait to see this, I don't know if I would have gone.
Well, you know, and you know what the best part of seeing this preview was?
It was in the IMAX.
Well, the IMAX, but the thing at the beginning where Zack Snyder pops up on the screen and asks everybody not to spoil it. And it's like, okay, you know what? That's pretty cool that they did that because it's one of those things where you never get those in press screenings.
See, and I was thinking, they don't have a lot of faith in this movie. You know,
see, and I don't think it was that. I think it was just, hey, don't say anything because of what happened at the end. You know, with Superman dying at the end, you know, it was one of those things where if somebody would have came out and just said, oh, well, Superman dies at the end of this thing, it's like, oh, well, Batman beat him.
Yeah.
You know.
So, David, was there an end credit scene when you saw it?
No, I heard there. Everybody kept telling me there was nothing afterwards.
Yeah, when we saw it, there was nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing. So. I think the thing with the grave site should have been the thing that...
That should have been, like, mid-credit thing. Yeah, that would have been...
I think his hand should have been breaking through the crypt.
Okay, and so... But Clark Kent is dead in this universe now. They laid his body out.
Yeah, they literally
out.
Killed Clark
so,
Kent.
This this was kind of, like... I guess, you know, we can kind of wrap up after this. But that was one of the other things, is, like... In The Dark Knight Returns, it's Bruce that goes into the ground, and he and Carrie Kelly have the plan where he took the pill. And Clark hears it, and he looks surprised, and he looks back at the grave and smiles.
Yeah,
that was cool. He can hear his heartbeat.
And then you get like the kind of the epilogue there where Bruce and Carrie are in the cave. With this happening like that, nobody knows. And so there's not that wink to the to the rest of the
well, yeah, but you know, but you saw like the dirt moving.
That's what I'm saying. You see the dirt rise, but nobody else sees that. Like made that a powerful moment in the comic is Clark knew that his buddy wasn't really dead, and that there was a bigger plan. And without that, I don't think that that's as powerful. Like, as cool as that was to see the dirt rise up, I don't think it has the emotional effect that it was intended
to
have.
And the thing, like you said, the one thing you said when we did walk out of there was it would have been cool if there would have been an after-credits scene where it would have shown Batman and Wonder Woman, like, let's get this started. Yeah. Like, you know, but, you know, you cut that whole thing where he's like, talking about how Superman pretty much taught him that, you know, we have to do this and something bad's coming and that. And just had it where they would have shown them at the computer screen and just figuring out who was who. And
or they could have been on the end of a pier.
Yeah.
You know, like, because go after Aquaman first. And then Vinny Chase walks by.
Vinny Chase. and then James Cameron says, you know what, I'm going to, you know, forget Avatar. I'm doing Aquaman.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal walks by.
Well, and then they would have brought Gordon from the Gotham series with Penguin and thrown him off the pier, and
there you go,
right in front of him, and be like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?"
So, hey, young Jim Gordon, I remember you from when I was 10.
I was gonna tell you before, you know, I know there's a lot of some negative talk with this movie and everything, but there is some good DC news. And that is a bunch of us, people I know from Collider, Dennis in particular, who's the head of video production over there. They saw the Preacher screening at WonderCon, and he said it's awesome. It's
well, that's good. Vertigo, so
yeah. Like, well, that's still DC. You know. That's DC. Yeah,
that's run by a different group. Well, I don't think it's run by a different group anymore, is it?
Yeah,
it's still separate.
Yeah, it's two separate entities.
No, but yeah, it's supposed to be really good though.
So I think the main thing to come out of this, and like if there's any like words of wisdom that I think DC Entertainment needs to hear, it's don't put the person in charge of your shared universe as someone who's either a writer, director, or actor in any of these things. This is why Marvel is successful, is they have a guy like Kevin Feige, who is a producer, and you know he's the steward of that universe, and he can come into the Joss Whedons and say no. He can come into James Gunn and say no.
Yeah.
This isn't in the spirit of the plan and strategy that we have in place for the next 9, 10, 12 years.
Right.
And DC doesn't have that. They're throwing spaghetti on the wall, and they're using a flawed foundation to build this. And you know, it's sad because as much as I enjoy the Marvel movies, I want the DC movies to be more successful. I want the DC stuff to do well because that is my home brand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. They need somebody with a pedigree like Feige that can come in and just be like,
If you look at it on a smaller scale with the TV, you have Greg Berlanti.
Yeah.
And he's doing 4 shows at once.
Yeah.
All right. They're 3 are a definite shared universe. Supergirl's going to be brought into the fold on Monday. But he is the one who oversees all of this and makes sure things work.
Right.
All right. Zack Snyder is doing what's best for him as a director.
Right.
And what's going to make money to show he's a box office draw for his next job.
I think what's going to make that where your people are going to go look at it differently is when Suicide Squad comes out and does better than Batman versus Superman. Not on the financial side, but on the review side.
Yeah.
And on the fan review side, because I get the feeling that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because I know people who are not comic book fans that are more excited for Suicide Squad than they are Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm more excited for Suicide Squad than I was for Batman versus Superman.
I mean, it made $27 million on Thursday.
Right.
It made 82 on Friday. We're recording this on Saturday.
And that was just all David on Friday. He spent $82 million.
I know, I did. I was and don't forget, guys, what's interesting about this release is that it's actually opening, which doesn't happen a lot, same weekend in China. And for the first time, I think, in history, China is going to have the biggest box office in the world, total. It's going to be bigger than America. So I think that's huge to see how it does in China. So, but don't forget, like, think about Michael Bay. No, and critics trash all of his movies that come out, and he makes $1 billion every time. So Snyder might have that same thing. Maybe critics don't like his films, but because he makes money, then they'll keep giving him work. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, how much money this actually makes.
Yeah, let's see. They did China at $21.2 million, and their overseas haul so far is 65.
So if it makes like $300 million worldwide this weekend, that's a pretty good start. I heard it has to make like 800 to $1 billion to be deemed financially successful.
I thought it had to get to $1 billion because it was close to $300 million production, and then
marketing
close to $700 million marketing.
$700 million in marketing.
So David, you're gonna have to buy some more of those LA movie tickets.
I will. They're not cheap.
How much is a movie out there?
Well, I like to go to AMC Prime, which is like a, you know, assigned seating, big leather seats, recliner seats. It's about, if you go to a night show, it's about $19 to $20. Matinees will run you about $12 out here for a matinee.
That's typically happening here now.
Yeah, too, we've gotten 2 theaters now because there's that one in Blue Ash now.
Right.
That are doing that. So,
well, and our local Regal is converting over to half of the theaters are going to have reclining seats. Well,
they're going
to
do all. My thing is, I can't
go to a theater with reclining seats.
No, I can't do that. I'll fall asleep. Yep, I'm right there with you.
So, yeah,
I've gotten too relaxed in a regular theater seat and fallen asleep.
If I saw this movie in one of those comfy,
you would have fallen asleep.
I would have been out like in the first half hour. So. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just concerned about the future of this shared universe. I think they could have done without showing any of the Justice League thing other than Ezra Miller popping into his dream.
Yeah.
And again, that was a dream. So, like, what does it really mean?
Was
and,
it a know, dream?
Or yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's the question. Was
well,
it
that that whole thing, like that so. Part with the nightmare universe, as they're calling it nightmare right. with a K.
Right.
It didn't feel like a dream. That didn't feel like well, a dream. That it felt like it had that it was going or, yeah, on. It so. Had happened because but. You know.
So now Batman, Lois had died. Now Batman's point. A metahuman with, you know, precognition.
You know.
I don't know. I did see one interesting thing on the reviews.
Or Highfather put it into his head.
Highfather, yeah.
Now, I did see an interesting thing on the reviews where it said it didn't go far enough with Injustice, the Injustice comic.
Yeah.
You know, the weekly thing that DC puts out.
Right,
on
the thing where Superman has decided...
The Gods Among Us with...
yeah.
You know, that they should have gone a little further that way. But I disagree because that's a very, very dark universe. I mean, Superman broke Batman's back.
Right.
Damian killed Dick and became Nightwing, like a dark version of Nightwing. Green Arrow got his back broken, and you know, it's just
that's the easiest way to stop a human superhero: break his back.
Well,
yeah. So. Or cut his arm off. I mean, you know, but even that doesn't stop them.
No,
so.
You break their back, you send them to the prison where Bane grew up, and they're, in a week they're fine.
That's all it takes.
David, I have to ask you something since you're a Flash guy. Do you think that Teddy Sears is Hunter Zolomon? The Zoom character is Hunter Zolomon?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, I don't think that trip to the park was
just
an
thrown
accident.
In there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, hey, look at Hunter. He likes to feed the ducks.
And yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like, he just sits
no,
there
I think
and feeds ducks and wears a trench coat.
Yeah, it is so funny though. I don't know what you guys thought. Maybe getting a little off topic, and we're talking about.
It's still DC Universe.
It's still DC Universe. That's true. Yeah. It's funny, like, after, you know, binging Daredevil this past weekend to, like, watching The Flash and Arrow, because you have to, like, just kind of sit back and be like, oh, that's right. This is a CW show. This is a show that has 23 episodes per season. Like, you almost have to, like, re-acclimate yourself to watching that kind of a show, because after watching Daredevil, like, for, like, 2 days straight, it's like, oh, wait, okay, now we're back in the CW Greg Berlanti universe. It's a little bit different than
a little bit brighter.
So, yeah, so Johnny hasn't watched Arrow yet, so I'm not gonna spoil anything about it, but my buddy
Daryl,
who is a huge Felicity fan, texted me. He goes, you know, I love Felicity Wright, but watching this week's Arrow, I can't believe, like, .. can't believe I'm saying this .. I want her gone. Also, after watching Daredevil, it makes Arrow just seem plain.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of sad. I actually, you know, really enjoyed Arrow. I still enjoy Flash. I feel like Arrow's peaked. I don't think it's a bad show. I just don't think it's ever going to get better than it is. I think we've seen what it can do, and I think it's just going to kind of just keep going the way it is. I feel like Flash still has more to offer, things we haven't seen yet. But I feel like Arrow, we've seen everything there is to see with these characters. I mean, who knows? I mean, Berlanti, those guys are really talented. Maybe they'll prove us wrong. But I don't know. I'm not as into Arrow as I used to be.
Well, with Green Arrow, just in general. Like, and again, he's one of my DC favorites.
Right.
There's not a lot you can do with him.
Yeah.
They never made him ultra liberal and fighting the fat cats.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
I think that's.
There was no hard traveling heroes.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. I think.
That would be cool for a season if they did it where he went on the road.
Yeah.
And seen, like, you know, some of the injustices that he hasn't dealt with yet. Yeah. I mean, that would be a cool season, and I mean, you know,
and
it gets him out of Star City.
You can do him and, like, if they, like, say they decide to kill Lila, do him and
Diggle. Yeah.
Like hard traveling heroes where they're in a truck and you know. But yeah. No, and David, I agree with you completely. The Flash has yet to even get close to its peak because there's so much
they just keep sneak previewing stuff. I mean,
Yeah.
Between Zoom and the stuff when they jump to Earth 2 and the Legion of Superheroes.
There's just so much more you can do with Barry Allen than really any other character.
Right.
So, and they can introduce Wally West.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. When Wally eventually gets some kind of power, you know, because it's going to happen. So. And that's what I was thrown off by this week. Jessie's wearing that bracelet that keeps going off whenever Barry gets close to her. When she walked up to Wally, it went off.
I know, that's interesting.
And I'm
right?
like, what's going on that they went off when she walked up to Wally? And I'm hoping by the end of the season she runs.
Well, she's going to have to do that. XCY plus 2345 equals 4.
No. And she's then got she'll have velocity in her. And
well, she has velocity in her.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She'll have velocity in her, and it'll actually work. It'll integrate itself into her.
Anyway. All right. So Batman v Superman, I think our response overall is tepid at best.
We weren't mean. I mean,
no, I think we were very
a lot
fair.
Of the reviews are mean, being mean.
There were good points. At this point, like looking at the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, these are the quote unquote top critics that are at like the major publications, or like they've done enough where they're, what is it? They're like at the top of the critic field.
Right, yeah.
But like, the guy from moviecrypt.com calls it world's finest mess. The guy from Excelsior, overcharged in its ideas, visually impeccable. This battle is not able to be epic. Part of its kryptonite is the long duration and script that wants to cover a lot but doesn't.
So a lot of people say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing.
That's another thing this week. I avoided most of that. I've seen, headline titles.
Yeah, and I would send you, the briefs.
Yeah, I just didn't go and read anything.
But
well, it's hard, too, because you got to realize with critics, I mean, it's tough because as geeks, obviously, Brian, you've been on, YouTube and seen those stuff. I mean, if you don't agree with someone's opinion completely, people get really upset with that.
Right.
And it's hard because you're reading a critic, and there's some couple critics that I trust and I like, but even with the critics I trust and like, that we still have differences. Cause I mean, it's just one person writing their opinion out of millions of people that see these movies. So, somebody might, hate it and trash it. You'd be like, well, it's not that bad, but because they have such a big voice.
It's just their opinion.
If you look at Rotten Tomatoes, like one thing I always look at is,
and the Rotten Tomatoes is very deceiving.
And it's the number of reviews, too, right? So it's 250 total reviews. 175 are rotten, 75 are fresh.
Okay.
Okay? So in the long run,
it's not
indicative of what it is. Now, the thing that concerns me more is the audience score, which has gone from 98 to 73.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they start out at the high number?
No, not always. I mean, it fluctuates. I mean, Deadpool started kind of low and went up. And, the Deadpool...
Well, do they have the meter set where it starts at zero and goes up and then comes down? Or?
No, it just kind of depends on as people start voting.
That's why I say I don't even trust the Rotten Tomato page because there's no accuracy to anything.
Well, it's an aggregator.
Because, my TV reviews are on Rotten Tomatoes. And, sometimes I'll write a review that I didn't like a show and I'll see it and it's, a fresh. And I'm like, wait a minute. That wasn't... And the thing is, when you see a fresh... Like, for instance, when you look at, Inside Out or the Disney movie, Zootopia, it's, 99%.
Yeah, Zootopia is at
99%. It's got a higher rating than, Schindler's List, but it doesn't mean that it's better than Schindler's.
Right.
It just means that 99% of the critics agreed that it was a solid... it doesn't mean that it's better than something that's, at 90%. It's just... It's
probably
weird,
more people went to see Zootopia than they did Schindler's List.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just... This Rotten Tomatoes, to me, is a law of averages. They're just averaging everything out. And for me, it's like... You know what? I'll look at some reviews, but most of the time I'm just going in for the entertainment purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
And here, my kind of closing thought here is, if you like this movie, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
If you like it, you like it. Now, I didn't care for it.
Right.
I'm not saying I didn't not like it.
Right.
That's the best thing I've been able to say about it. But it wasn't the movie I expected or the movie I wanted.
It's not the movie you wanted. It's the movie you got.
I want to throw my phone.
I like to use that line a lot. So.
It's classic.
But at the end of the day, it just does not. This was meant to come out of this and be excited, like Nick Fury at the end of Iron Man.
Well,
and it's not there for me. And it might be there for you, Johnny. It might be there for you, David. I don't know. But for me, it's not there. And it's not something I'm necessarily looking forward to moving forward.
Mm. Well, yeah, just one of those things where it's like David, he was going in really pumped for the movie, and he came out with the movie.
Yeah, because we talked a couple weeks ago. He was, he was the one.
Somebody
the
else I know,
that.
Like he put on Facebook, he was really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And he put mixed feelings about BVS. He said it has pacing issues just like Man of Steel. It'll definitely benefit by an extended cut. So, you know, people are having hope that the extended cut will make the movie better.
It might.
But so if that's the case.
But my opinion is if that's the case,
then that's what they should have shown. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. So, Johnny, what are your final thoughts here?
I really don't have any on Batman versus Superman. Okay. You know, looking forward to Suicide Squad. Of course, Civil War. The other versus movie this year. I see that was there's a comic floating around on Facebook, like a little somebody just did a sketch comic today, I guess it showed up. It has Batman and Superman on the top of it going, "I hate you, no, I hate you," and then like right below it it's Cap and Iron Man, it goes rabbit season, duck season, and then right below that is Flash and Supergirl taking a selfie.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, yeah, because they're not gonna fight, they're just hanging out.
Yeah. I like the one I saw where it was Cap and Superman, and like Cap is saluting him, and he's like, "It's great to meet you, sir." And Superman's like, "I'm a big fan." And then it's Tony and Batman. They just have money popping out of their costumes.
Nice.
So I thought that was funny. All right, David, what are your last words?
Last words. I think for people out there who are listening to this, and you know, if you haven't seen the movie, you've been spoiled. Yeah, I would definitely recommend seeing it at the theater. Don't let the negative reviews deter you.
Go see it in IMAX.
Go see the biggest screen.
Wonderful.
Possible.
I think I told you when I seen Star Wars with the 3D IMAX. Yeah. I think if you want to see this movie and see it actually look cool, I think the 3D IMAX is.
They don't have
be the
a 3D version of this, do they?
No, I don't think they did.
I think it's just IMAX.
Oh,
huh.
Oh, okay.
Because Deadpool didn't do a 3D version,
huh?
But they had an IMAX version.
Yeah,
so. IMAX. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
this movie you need to see in the theater for sure.
Because there's a good chunk of this that was filmed in the 70 millimeter IMAX.
Yeah,
so
the whole nightmare thing was.
But, yeah,
yeah.
So,
if you want, just go to see it for that nightmare scene. Because I said that sold me on the whole movie because. Batman looked cool in that battle outfit.
Batman, I'm not.
I mean,
whatever.
Just
he was
going
the Red Sun,
killing
Batman.
Everybody and kicking everybody's ass throughout that entire yard, and then parademons. I'm like, as soon as the I fell off the seat almost. Like, I'm like, oh my god, parademons.
So I knew when Johnny likes stuff because you hear his ah.
Yeah,
is that literally, what he was doing in the movie?
I was pretty loud in that theater at times.
So. Whereas I sit there and I have my feet up and I have my arms across my chest.
Mother Box was another one where I was like, oh my god, there's a Mother Box! And then the golden lasso was like, yeah.
I think the only real part where I jumped up was at the beginning was like, hey, remember when Negan and Maggie were Bruce's mom and dad?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right.
And don't forget, Brian, don't forget to make sure you go to your comic store on May 25th and buy all your new DC Rebirth. I'm sure you're really excited about that.
We are going to, pour through all the all the WonderCon stuff.
David, you're not here, so you didn't get to see it for a minute. He didn't know what to say.
I want to see his face right now.
We're going to pour through all the WonderCon stuff, and we're actually going to talk about this next week, or on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, about that.
I get Nightwing back. I get Nightwing back. I lose all my Robin books, so I'm kind of sad about that.
I'm excited about All-Star Batman. I think it could be cool. Scott Snyder, John Romita Jr., and Sean Murphy.
See, we don't know about this.
I haven't even read anything. So that's
spoilers. Spoiler.
So.
You California people, and you're getting to we'll go to WonderCon. You're probably hanging out with Chris Hardwick drinking.
Actually, all right, so I did tell you guys something. We were walking through the WonderCon floors about maybe 10 feet to my left. I got to see the lovely Nisa Al Ghul, a.k.a. Katrina Law.
She gave me a high five in September.
Yeah,
so. she was here in September, last September at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, and I got her autograph, and
he's a pretty
Brian
woman.
Got a high five from her.
A high five.
Yeah, because I went, I don't do the autographs like Johnny does, but, this year I actually, kind of tagged along as he went up to celebrities, and each one of them I was like, I just picked something random that I liked them in, and I was like, you were awesome on Chuck, and she was like, yeah, and gave me a high five. So
she was cool.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, she's very pretty,
very and tiny.
Oh,
way
yeah,
tinier than I thought.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this has been our review of Batman v Superman. Johnny, where can they find you online?
At the Infamous Podcast. All the stuff is on the About page. Just go on there, click on everything, click everywhere on that.
Subscribe. Sign up for the
buy stuff through Amazon on that page.
Yeah, buy stuff through. I haven't mentioned that in weeks.
See.
All right, David, where can they find you online?
I'm a better pimp than you are.
You are.
You can find me on Twitter at GriffinDE. I'll also be on Collider Video on YouTube. Going to be doing the Rebels, Star Wars Rebels season finale coming up on Wednesday. We got a Flash on Tuesday, a Flash recap show. Also on Mondays, probably be up around 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, a new show, TV Talk, talking about all things TV on Collider Video. Be sure to check that out, too.
And
also Think Hero too. Sorry, yeah. Think Hero Pro on YouTube as well. I forgot about poor Think Hero.
And not just because David's a very good friend. Think Hero. So, and I'm gonna say this, not just because David's my friend, but like I really enjoy the Rebels after show and the Flash after show. And TV Talk is a lot of fun. I watched the first episode the other day.
I'm sad it's ending. I'm sad Rebels is done already. Miss it.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that at some point offline because I have some obviously Edge of Bridger-esque thoughts about where it's going to go. But
okay,
I haven't watched the Chopper Base one yet, so
that was good. This week, liked it. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
I didn't realize that I had missed an episode. Like the DVR recorded it, but I didn't realize I had missed the episode where Chopper goes for the leg.
Oh, thing, you could. So. That's when you could have totally skipped.
It was just a fun episode. So yeah, we got to watch Secret of Chopper Base, and then obviously the finale coming up. So
oh, hey, David, the Disney XD app has had Rebels on like in the middle of the day the last couple weeks.
Yeah, no, that's
like
really
hours before it's like aired. So yeah, I was able to watch it twice before the airing last Wednesday.
I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I get my copy on Monday afternoon. So.
Hey, guess what? We saw Man of Steel 2 on
you did.
Tuesday. So.
We got to see it before you did.
That's true.
And we got to see it 3 hours earlier than you would have to.
True.
So. Well, I have a feeling, I'm just going to predict it. You're probably going to see Civil War before me, because I'm going to go see it on May 10th, which is my birthday. It's the Tuesday after it comes out. So you're probably going to see Civil War before
me. We're going to have to see that because of Free Comic Book. We're both going to be on Free Comic Book Day. So.
Yeah, we work Free Comic Book Day. Maybe we'll do a little live thing.
Yeah.
You should bring a camera there or something.
A camera? Nobody wants to see our ugly mugs.
Oh,
it's all the people you want
to
see, not us.
So, all right.
David used to be on a camera because he's got a pretty face.
Oh,
well, he's got a great big bushy beard now.
Oh, really?
So
yeah,
nice.
I'm trying to grow it out.
Are you moving to the mountains or?
Yeah, I want to look manly.
It threw me. He didn't wear his hat the other day too, and I forgot how bald he was.
So. Oh wow! Wow,
it's true. I've been shaving my head since probably like junior year in college or something.
I know, but I totally forgot about it because I've like. When we hung out, like you didn't have a hat on, but then like when you're on the camera, it's like, oh, you always have a hat on, and then you didn't. So,
and anyway. At the end of this, we talk about our hair.
Yeah, well, David's trying to take over our podcast now. Is what it is. He's trying to be on everything.
For the right price, you can take over our podcast.
Oh, it's for sale now.
We're looking for sponsorships.
All right, so this has been our review of Batman versus Superman. Featuring
and other things.
Featuring the lovely David Griffin.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Again, if you guys want to find us, we're at infamouspodcast.com. You can find everything you need about us and where to contact us.
And everything with David will be on there. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, there's been several posts with David's contact information. So.
But they may just be looking at the Batman versus Superman.
True. Maybe we should put a David special
make a
little bio
for him. Put a little special guest bio.
We can do social medias. None.
I like that.
Where's the Facebook at?
All right. So this has been the episode. We're going to just blather on for a while. Thank you, guys. We'll be back. On Tuesday, look for our Star Trek Nemesis review. For 50th anniversary of Star Trek, we are going to go ahead and review that, and you can get our thoughts. And then make sure you tune in to Thursday's show. And if you missed this past or Friday's show, if you've missed this past Friday's show, you can learn how to wait in line and do it right.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great week.
Have a good one.
Later.